Hello and welcome everybody to Season 6, Episode 5, Sideshow Bob Roberts. Throwing it over to, actually we have a guest today, so we're going to throw it over to Greg.
Marge, is Lisa at Camp Granada?
Homer, we have a perfectly good bookcase.
Yeah, but this is what they're doing on campus. Besides, it isn't costing us. I swiped the cinder blocks from a construction site.
Sir, 6 cinder blocks are missing.
There'll be no hospital then. I'll tell the children.
Ah, for crying out loud. I thought for sure Greg and I had planted it in Shane's head that he was going to mess up the intro and say something like Bob Show Side or something like that. But he said it nice and clear. Shane's a pro. What can I say? Shane's a pro. He knows what he's doing. I'm just winging it as we go along here.
Yeah, very professional. Yeah, very talented. Mm-hmm.
Seasoned veteran on of how many episodes now have you done?
Oh, geez, and counting our special Christmas and Halloween and chat with Al, like what are we at, 107, 108, something like
oh,
that?
Oh, no, it would be, wow. So this is actually, I'll mess it up on purpose this time, Bob Show Side Show Roberts, this is actually 108, so we've done, including the specials, we've done like what, 111, or no, more, because we've done the end of season recaps, so... Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, including 5. So, we'd be like 116. Some holy, have we been 116 of these? This is crazy.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah,
if you've been along for the ride, thank you for listening, by the way. We enjoy doing this each and every week, and we're getting right into the thick of things here in season 6. We got our boy, our Simpsons fanatic, Greg Howe, back on. Greg, first time since Homer goes to college back at the beginning of season 5. That was the last one that you were on. We're coming off a 10. It was a unanimous 10 with Itchy and Scratchy Land last week. General season 6. Is there anything, if I say to you just in general, hey, Greg, say something about season 6 of The Simpsons, what are some things or just a thing that comes to mind?
I would say Lisa on Ice. I would say Itchy and Scratchy Land. I would also say... this episode, I would say that this episode would be one of my favorites, because I love Kelsey Grammer, and the fact that Kelsey Grammer got included in this at the height of his I guess this would be the height of Frasier's popularity.
It's close to the beginning of Frasier, sort of. But he was still popular, obviously coming off of Cheers, so he was still big name to have in an episode. Yeah, this is one of the ones that I think you really get to see Sideshow Bob in a different way, because he's like scheming, and it's always, you know, kill Bart, kill somebody, something to get revenge on Bart. And this is a little bit different. And this is, we get to see Bob, the smart guy that he actually is, the kind of conniving guy, not so much evil murdery guy, but just the overall smart, this guy is an intelligent character. Let's see what we can do with him. It's kind of interesting that you mentioned that this is one of your, is it just because of Kelsey though, Greg, or is it like the subject matter is like political, so you don't usually get a lot of people go, oh yeah, this is one of their favorites. So is there anything else?
I think that it's a perfect, I like that it's a perfect, I would say like a commentary about politics at the time. I think it's one of the rare episodes where there's just a really good story in it as well. Mm-hmm. So like from beginning to end, there's just a really good story and there's nothing left out of it.
I think you said it was at the time, but I think even 30 years later, the themes of the episode still kind of play into what's happening in politics today, where like, for instance, just straight pandering to whatever you think is going to get you the most votes. You see it with Bob when he's with at the old folks home, right? And talking about the Matlock Expressway and whatnot. Like it's just it's just big popularity contest, and it still rings true 30 years later. Some of the things that politicians will do to try to get votes.
Well, and one of the things that I like is that they based it off All the President's Men, like the Watergate movie. So it's mainly centered around Watergate. which is really funny because they turned it into a sideshow clown being in the place of Richard Nixon.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot of like historical political references in here, right? Like not just Watergate. You get Birch Barlow's, like he's just straight Rush Limbaugh.
Exactly.
You get the debate between Quimby and Sideshow Bob, which is mirroring the Kennedy Nixon debate from 1960 in their presidential runoff. So there's a whole bunch of different historical references. And they're like, maybe the writers in the room at the time are like, we can take the best of that stuff and kind of just pack it all into one and kind of get a sort of political heavy episode out of the way, but also make it a good story in the process. Shane, question. Well, this is a question for both of you, but Shane, I know you've been quiet here, and I want to get your take on this first because you always seem to have interesting takes on these things. A lot of people, you know, they'll get a politically tinged episode of something that isn't it's not the West Wing, so you don't expect it to have a politically heavy episode. Do you care at all? Like, are you one of, do you enjoy these types of episodes? Do you not like when shows do this? Do you not care at all? What are your thoughts?
Well, one of our worst rated episodes is one that is heavily involved in politics, particularly American politics.
That's true.
And I think we gave that one a 2 or something.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we were pretty harsh on that one. It was a fail from. It was a below 5, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Now, I feel like this episode, they've learned from some of a lot of the writers are just, a lot of Americans in general are just heavily into politics, and it's like a really good like pastime for them because it's just very different than our politics. It's kind of like a show. It's like a reality TV show. It's this very, like, it's in your face all the time. Ours lasts for like, you feel like you see some attack ads for like a month and that's over.
It's a lifestyle.
It really is. But I feel like this episode is entertaining for what it is. Yes, there's a lot of politics involved, but I feel like it's not lulled. It's not going to like lull you to sleep with a bunch of boring politics. Like both of you have already said, there's a lot of references to other things that are already kind of like entertaining when you put the Simpsons kind of in the same spots as those people. So I feel like this is a good episode, heavily into politics, but they did it well.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense that they were, they don't play. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. They make it pretty obvious that, you know, Bob's like the evil right wing American right wing type of politician, but it still feels from what I recollect, I haven't seen this episode in a long time. Actually, it's been quite a while. They still keep it light enough that, from what I recall, that you can still enjoy it. Like you don't have to take sides. Maybe you are a more right-leaning person. Even if you watch this episode, I don't think you'd be like really offended. I would hope not anyways, because it's a cartoon. Greg, what do you think about these types of episodes though?
You know what? I think there's a place for them because I've always liked the Simpsons take on political satire. Mm-hmm. I think that the Simpsons do it best in a way that's palatable, and I think that there are examples in which get old, but I think the Simpsons in this era has a good centers between a good line of not showing favoritism towards a certain side, I would say. So it's more of just a general cut down the middle look at how wacky American politics is. And I would say that bad examples are like SNL, where you can clearly see where the support lies. And I think that comedy does well when you're just painting a large picture of something rather than an us versus them type of mentality.
Yeah, SNL can be very ham-fisted. Like they really exactly over the head with like you get it, you get it. This is what we believe. You get it.
Exactly. Now? It's like
really shoving it down your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Whereas this, I would almost call this tasteful. Like, it actually, like, a lot of people that wouldn't say, oh, The Simpsons, you know, you can't say The Simpsons is tasteful. They are. They do it very well when they do satire. And
off of memory, though, is this like, is this your guys, one of your favorite Sideshow Bob episodes? Is it even top three?
Yeah, I would say so. I think Cecil is up there. That's a great one. The Cecil, Cape Fear, and this are probably my top three Bob episodes.
Yeah, I would say I would agree with that. I would say that I would say that Cape Fear is probably my first one, just because the movie is classic, and I like that they did the parody of it, and then yeah, Cecil, and then this one. I would say those are my top three Bob episodes.
Yeah, I think it's better than it's definitely better than Krusty Gets Busted. It's probably better than Selma.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gotta be in the top three. It's definitely better than that stupid one where they go to Italy in later. I hate that episode so much.
Yeah.
I'm dreading to the point when we get there. I do despise that one. So I definitely say this is probably my top. Is it yours, Shane?
I would say yeah, it's definitely top three. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotta be a top three.
It's not my number one though.
No, I think
Cecil, I go back and forth my number one, but not with this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Cecil is probably my number one. That's really great. Cause you get to see, they really do a different side of Bob, and like, he actually does try to change. So, yeah, I like that one a lot. I guess that means it's rankings time. And for this one, I remember specific things that Bob does. I remember when I was young, I'm talking about like 8, 9, 10, I really didn't get it. I didn't understand. Like, I didn't get the Rush Limbaugh parodies. I didn't get what Bob was doing. I didn't get the whole theme of it. As I got older into my teens, I was like, oh, this is actually a really good episode that I didn't appreciate when I was a kid. So it's kind of weird to base this on nostalgia, because I have two different like nostalgia versions. But I'm going to say, I'm pretty sure this has some pretty funny gags in it. Even visual gags too, with Bob flip-flopping and stuff. So I'm going to have to go give it a solid 8.5. It's a good story. I don't think there are any too many laugh out loud moments. I think the pacing is pretty decent. It's much better than the Burns episode when it comes to a political episode, like you alluded to earlier, Shane. I'm going to go with an 8.5. I think that's comfortable based on my competing nostalgia against each other. Greg, you're the guest. You get first ranking based on nostalgia. What are you going with?
I'd say I would give this one about an 8. I would say it's not perfect by any means, but I think it's one of the stronger episodes.
Yeah.
And also, I love an episode that has Phil Hartman in it. So when you got Lionel Hutz in there, the fact that you also get Henry Corden, who is one of the original Fred Flintstones as well.
Yeah, I forgot about the Hutz aspect of this too, because it's not one of those ones that you really think of the Hutz is in. Yeah, it's a good point. Okay, I have a feeling this might end up approaching 9 territory. I think we might be forgetting some things as a collective here. But Shane, last ranking before we get into the episode, what are you going with?
Yeah, so I'm never really a big fan of politics in The Simpsons, period. Like, I'd always kind of this. I'm not nostalgic for this episode at all, really. Similar to what you said, as a kid, didn't really get it, honestly. Besides like some of the visual gags, it was kind of fun. And I never really went back to it as something I wanted to rewatch. With that being said, as I got older, I did appreciate it a little bit more. It's still like not in my top 10 episodes of all time, not even close. But it's still a good episode. So I'm going to go in with, I think I'm going to meet with Greg there. I'm going to go with an 8.
Just a solid 8, an A-.
It's a good episode. To me, that's an 8. You know, it's pretty good. It's not like, it's good, not great. Yeah.
I think it's a pretty fair definition of what we've been. We call it a good episode for the time period that we're in. We're probably thinking like an 8, an A-. That seems pretty fair. Decent would probably be like a 6, 7. Pretty good would be like an 8.5 to a 9. Great, 9 to... you know, high 9 point something, and then like 9.910, that's pretty much as perfect as you can get. I think that's a pretty accurate kind of summation of our ranking system. If you ever wonder what the heck these guys are basing these numbers off of, I think that's pretty accurate for where we are.
It's just like whose line, right? The now. Points don't matter. It's fine.
It's true. Yeah, exactly. It's not, if you disagree with us, then you disagree with us. That's the whole point of this, right? Like, to each their own when it comes to the Simpsons episode. Some people love certain episodes. Some people can't stand that same episode. So that's the whole point of why we do this, to see if our memories are even true to what we think. We will be right back with Bob Showside Roberts. And before we do, a message from our tasty, delicious, very, very delicious, I should say. I undersell it all the time. Very, very delicious sponsor. We'll be right back.
Donuts, Simpsons, Simpsons donuts. It just goes hand in hand.
Yeah, you know what, Shane? It really does. And for the best donuts in the world, you got to check out Crave Donuts. They've got locations in Oshawa and Whitby, Ontario. And these Simpsons-loving donut bakers, they're creating some of the most delicious treats imaginable. They've got a year-round menu with the likes of a Cosmic Brownie Donut, a Churro Cruller. They've even got the Simpsons-inspired Pink Vanilla Sprinkle.
Yeah, and there's a rotating menu inspired by each season. In the fall, they've got apple pie, pumpkin spice cheesecake.
Doesn't that sound delicious? That sounds absolutely amazing. To top it all off, there's weekly specials. They've got some surprises each and every week, so keep an eye on that. Open Wednesday through Sunday. Check out their website, cravedonuts.com, as well as their Instagram for all the details. Trust us. If you're in the GTA, go hit up Crave, because you're going to end up with a belly full of goodness. It's probably going to cause you to make some sounds. Sound a little like this.
Donuts.
Alrighty. Here we go. Season 6, Episode 5. Bob Showside Roberts, whatever we said earlier.
This is our intro for a long time.
KBBL Talk Radio, and now Springfield's favorite conservative and author of the well-selling book.
Look at those donuts. Have left wings. Not as good as Crave donuts, but
no, not as good.
Only turkeys have left wings.
I forgot that this is kind of how they introduce the.
Can you believe that? This is actually a famous episode because of the way it actually starts.
Yeah.
In terms of the really, really short intro.
And I do like the call out to Ted Kennedy, because Ted Kennedy ended up killing that person.
Yeah. It's definitely something that it seems like 3 years earlier they wouldn't have done. They're like, oh, should we do this? Can we do this?
Yeah.
It's like, no, you know what? We have all the power. We're doing whatever the hell we want.
I do like that they do compare him to Homer to Birch Barlow.
That was a really good segue. Visual transition was really, really good. Yeah, and so this is the part, like, when I was a kid and I would see this episode come on.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Mrs. McFurley.
God.
Okay.
The marijuana in the closet.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
I always think it's in a different episode. I always think that's in the one where, with Marge on the Lamb.
Yes.
Yeah, I had no idea what was going on when I was a kid. I did not get this at all.
It's pretty funny though, because this is like the same social commentary that happens today. Like,
it is. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Man, there are so many radios in this first like 3 minutes.
You're so big because your class always gets to do projects. Well, I'm doing a school project on fireworks.
That's a weird line. Fireworks. Great misdirect though. Now is a
special song. Oh, I remember this.
Bart Simpson has promised us a fireworks display.
It's funny because he was actually telling the truth. He gets an F for not providing the fireworks.
Where was he going to set fireworks off in his school?
That's also a good point. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And their bleeding heart. This one came out back on October 9th, 94. So it's weird that they would have been doing this joke for an episode that came out in October when Chinese New Year is in February.
Yes.
But yeah, good point.
October 9th, 94. I'm actually, Greg, you're going to get the question today instead of Shane. October 9th, 94. What, 2 days after this, what band launched their self-titled debut album, ushering in the craptastic genre of nu metal?
Oh, are we talking about the lovely... Kudos for 94. Would that be people realize we conservatives aren't all John? Is that Limp Bizkit? No.
You're close. They're kind of the next wave, the ultimate new metalers. You got to get to the roots, the original brethren of new metal. Dad, they appeared on South Park.
Oh, is this Oh my god, oh, is this Korn?
Korn, there it is.
Yes,
oh
I
my
forgot.
Gosh. That's my sister's favorite band, actually.
That's Stinky funny. Bum Korn.
She actually has a tattoo of Korn.
Your sister's a Korn tattoo. No, she doesn't.
Yeah, yes, she does. It says Korn on her arm.
Does she have a barbed wire tattoo? With
Dr. Demento. Dr. Demento.
Another joke where a kid and like, what happened? Why did Mark just throw his radio out the window? Like, I didn't get the joke.
But I want to know what the joke was behind him and Dr. Demento, because there's never been any mention of Dr. Demento. So
yeah,
true.
It's kind of like Linda Lavin all over again.
Oh, look how pissed he looks.
Yeah, give us something we like. We'll ride you out of town. You gotta please the old people in elections. I do like the montage. We were, you know, talking about our favorite band, Korn, but the montage where Homer doesn't know who Sideshow Bob is pretty good.
Matlock. I do love when they reference Matlock.
Have you ever watched Matlock? Oh, yeah, it's Quindy who proposes it, not
Matlock Expressway. Yeah, they actually show reruns of Matlock on CHCH at like 10 o'clock in the morning. So during the pandemic, I would watch it.
So you killed your time. Watch stupid old Matlock episodes.
We love you, Matlock.
Convicted of a crime I didn't even commit. Attempted murder. Now, honestly, what is that? Do they give a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry? Do they?
Attempted chemistry.
Personal call. No. My friends, isn't this just typical?
Did you guys watch Frasier?
I did, yeah. Actually, the new reboot is actually really good.
Is it really? It's one of those rare reboots and that actually works. I didn't watch Frasier until after it was done. I'm going to say when I was like 17, 18, something like that. Because like I didn't, again, it's one of those shows, you don't really get it if you're a kid.
Yeah,
it's like more adult show.
Well, yeah. Grown-up comedy. The people
of South. How the hell is Bart getting away with listening to?
It's pretty obvious he has headphones on.
Headphones. Yeah. Also, nice South African freedom.
Yeah.
Reference there. That's family for this episode.
All right. Yeah.
This is a really heavy opening act, though. Like,
yes, grenade. It is. One grenade each.
But see, I think we're going to say the same thing there, Greg. The way that they are still able to ease the tension and do something funny with Mo with the grenades here, or the montages of, you know, the crazy lady riding her pile of garbage.
Yeah,
unlike they did in season two. Like,
yes.
They're still able to make things fun.
And I do like how they made Barney like very smart by saying through nonviolent oppression.
Yeah, Barney has those moments, right? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Such a good sound cue here. They use this all the time for Sideshow Bob, but so good.
I love the walking off of the cliff. It's on the other
side. Yes. The
boat's on the other side. Oh, that's one of my favorites.
That's my leading candidate. Then I had a feeling that was going to be my leading candidate for best gag of the like nice Republican Party headquarters to the evil castle. But,
is this the one where they have Hitler as well?
In the, no, I don't think so.
Oh, never mind. No. I thought.
I do always think that when the fucking gremlin guy, when Bob jumps, or not jumps, when he walks off the cliff, I always get that mixed up too with thinking that's the one with Selma when he gets out of prison. But
yeah.
Quimby, we need a
candidate with name recognition. It's impossible not to get Teresa Horror vibes when you see that castle, though.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah. It looks very much like Burns' Dracula castle.
Open that door, you'll see the next mayor of Springfield. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the water cooler. Nice. Very nice.
What it's,
I think that is my contender for gag of the...
Yeah, that's... Jeez, it's up there.
It really... It just hammers home that literally they're all puppets. You can just literally put anyone there.
Yeah, realistically, eh?
Now, this means there is to be no wising off, no face-making, and no grass-eating. This means you, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
Hello, children. Hello, Bart.
Eep.
Young friends, my opponent, Joe Quimby, is confused about your school system. Do you know what he does? He flip-flops.
Yeah, this is the classic.
That's when he gets really short. No.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you put a clown in charge. He knows what he's doing. So I keep it in
my head. Yeah, that's great. Short. Yeah.
He always looks like a Goomba, like from Mario there.
Yeah, he does.
Spotlight, we're going to have to stoop to the lowest common denominator.
I can do that.
Ah, help! I'm being attacked by things.
Things.
Uncle Mare was just saying that us kids are the most important.
Uncle Mare.
We have.
More important than coal?
Coal.
Yes.
I forgot.
Timely
about
again.
That.
Timely again. There you go.
That was a big mistake. No children have ever meddled with the Republican Party and lived to tell it.
That's a good line. It's kind of interesting too here, like we kind of talked about this at the beginning, that he had no plans to go for Bart. It's not what he was doing.
Oh yeah, the Archie, the Riverdale one.
No, the Riverdale.
Mid-sized roller rink.
I like the tire yard as well, the booby trap. It's not the mayor's fault that the stadium collapsed.
I never noticed, too, in watching that little song, that they have the gallows pole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Voting for lesser of two evils.
Could I have some more bumper stickers, please, dude?
I do like that Jimbo also is Grimby. And this is happening clearly in Grimby's sight line. And they just let it happen.
They just let it happen, yeah.
There he goes.
The mummy's ready for his mystical journey.
Yeah. I bet there was a discussion on if that was going to explode or not.
That would have been good. You gonna top that, smart guy? Damn it, Shane. Now I'm let down. It didn't explode.
It would have been very Simpsons-esque had it exploded.
Also, one thing that you need to know is that the two people in the back that are his aides, Sideshow Bob's aides, are based on the H.R. Haldeman and the I forget who the other guy is, but those were Nixon's aides that basically aided in Watergate happening.
Oh, Watergate, from the CIA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would have never known. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good grandpa nonsense.
Oh, I love grandpa nonsense.
We've had some real good grandpa nonsense lately.
Yes, yeah, they've been last few episodes, some good grandpa nonsense. Oh,
I love how they include Richie Sakai in there.
Yeah, there's a boy, Shane. The man like mayor. Vote Sideshow Bob, mayor. Mass wedding of cult members on the sign. I don't remember that sign gag. It's good. Mayoral
debates. Oh yeah, Larry King, an actual Larry King.
Fox. There's
no need for obnoxious hooting and hollering. I always love the low blows to Fox.
It's so timely. It's still true. It's still true. That's great. Yeah, you know what? That was a good grandpa rant, but it's not as good as last week's with which one to use, the mailman. Grandpa's little helper. You challenged me, Shane. It's like that's your thing, and you're right. Performance
out there. Don't worry, he's taking a million.
Oh, the drowsy.
Yeah.
Extra drowsy formula.
That's a pretty quick. If you were like only kind of paying attention, that's a really quick flash to the pillboxes. That's a drowsy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get this part when I was a kid. I was like, why is he? Less whining.
Sure, had that day cool. Oh well.
Good line.
Yeah.
Mayor Quimby, you are well known, sir, for your lenient stance on crime. But suppose for a second that your house was ransacked by thugs, your family tied up in the basement with socks in their mouths. You try to open the door, but there's too much blood on the knob.
What is your question?
My question's about the budget, sir.
Oh. Yeah, like what does that have to do with the budget?
And he didn't even ask a question. He just said, my question is about the budget. Yeah.
Flames added electronically by Channel 6.
It's a good Chiron operator right there.
Yeah, good Chiron.
I agree with his Bart-killing policy. I do approve of his Selma-killing policy.
Give me for armed robbery. But man, I'm making for that
upper class. Tax cut. Yep. Timely. Man, this episode is 30 years old and you can
get
it brand new.
It's
today.
The same thing every year, isn't it? For Joe Quimby, every election, rather. And we remind you,
there is a 1% margin of error. There's a 1% margin of error.
All right, let's go. The guy takes out the booze.
For
mayor,
Terwilliger's victory speech.
Also, did they ever, the Terwilliger, was that ever brought up in any other episode that that's his real name?
I think it is in Krusty Gets Busted. That's this. I don't know if, yeah, I don't know if they mentioned the Onderdonk part, though.
Yeah. Oh, this is a Citizen Kane reference.
Yeah. Never watched that movie. I always heard it's butt.
Oh, like, great movie.
Is it actually good, though? Is it worth
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
The cinematography is very good. It's well acted. It is, you know, it's not like action-packed, right? But I feel like everyone should watch it once.
I never noticed one of the Life in Hell bunnies was in Maggie's crib there.
Yeah.
72 hours to vacate.
See, there's some things you still notice watching this show years and years later.
Homer, we've got to stop them.
I know what you're up to, Mayor Terwilliger.
Terwilliger.
I'm going to stand for it.
Where does Grandpa get the old 1920s? Yeah,
right? But how is he on top of a thing that has no entrance?
Yeah, where did he
Yeah.
Grade. Well, yes, but not for 4 or 5 years. Bart, you're going to kindergarten.
Kindergarten?
How does the mayor have power to replace children's in their grades?
Who knows what?
Still a great gag.
Triangle. Very good, Bart. You have first choice of toys.
Did you see the B for like the sign card for B with the little bear? It's Bobo. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. But... There's the Flintstones reference.
And so that was one of the original Freds. Who were first Freds.
Common trolls.
I don't think Bob won that election.
Nothing wrong hanging out under the bridge with Duncan and the boys.
Get so many votes and another convicted felon would...
See, Shane, there's another Sonny reference I threw in there you didn't get.
No, yeah, I need it. Well, I have it now. I had the first six seasons. I shouldn't just get on that.
The results of last month's mayoral election. All 48,000 voters and who each one of them voted for.
I thought this was a...
Yeah, if you watch the episode Sweet D Dates a R-Word Person, and you'll be hooked.
I think one of my favorite things is when she asks, when she says, I thought this was a secret election.
Meh. Yeah, whatever.
That's definitely a Sports Welder thing.
Yeah.
Kind of response. Is that a reference to, what is that a reference to, Greg? The big, is that All the President's Men or something?
Or I think it's, I think it's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, yeah.
Maybe, something like that.
That makes sense.
Wrote that note, wants to meet us here tonight? This is so cool, Bart.
We're just... Pay and Park and Pay. We're just like Woodward and Bernstein. Yeah, that's All the President's Men right there.
Everyday punks think they're too good for me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot there's a total callback to the Riverdale from before. It's not just a one-off thing.
Is this Smithers?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't tell you.
I was going nuts upstairs.
But I worked on the campaign.
Hey, Mr. Smithers!
Hey, Mr. Smithers!
Might as well give me a ride home now. Never gone behind Mr. Burns' back before, but Sideshow Bob's ultra-conservative views conflict with my choice of lifestyle. All I can do
that's
is
kind of the first real...
it's still not out there yet.
Yeah,
they're still kind of dragging it along.
Edgar Neubauer.
I
wonder how they came up with the name Edgar Neubauer. That was really
Oh, gorilla.
Another nice callback to the
bats.
Good callbacks in this episode.
Move into a Motel 6. Dad can't afford $6 a night.
Gosh.
Did Motel 6 actually used to cost $6 a night?
Beloved husband and old grouch.
It does happen sometimes that people vote and then they die.
Yeah.
Look,
Prudence Goodwife. Before it's counted.
1641. She voted for Bob too. So did Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the
Buddy Holler and the Big Bopper.
Oh, what a gravestone.
That is really good.
Look, Mr. and Mrs. Bananas, Humphrey Beauregard. Oh, my poor dead kitty. Please, not you too.
I love how they have Snowball 1 on there.
Yeah, they know there's a Snowball 2. And also, I thought Snowball... Oh, well, I guess it's a tombstone. You can't really tell.
Yeah, make a good point. It would just be called Snowball, right?
Yeah, exactly. March of the Rolling Pin.
It's funny because this scene here was on an episode of Mythbusters where...
I do remember that.
Do you remember that?
Did they?
Poor memory.
Yeah, when he crashes in, when he holds on to the bowling ball.
Wrecking ball.
Yeah, the wrecking ball. Ah, Lionel Hutz.
Kids help.
Just ask them the
question.
The judge even, no.
Yeah, just, justice. Get an aptitude.
That way they can sleep soundly tonight on their hard, feculent motel pillows. Well, bye.
Yeah, nothing worse than a motel pillow.
Here I am.
I have a plan.
Your travel tip. You going somewhere? Bring your own pillow.
Yep.
Yeah, you really should.
You know, Sideshow Bob, I believe you when you say you're innocent.
Indeed I am.
Because we all know you're a naive pawn, puppet, if you will, of the most diabolical political genius Springfield has ever known, Birchibald T. Barlow!
So, when I was a kid, and Lisa would point to Barlow and say his name, I completely forgot that his name was Birch or Birchibald. Like,
yeah.
I didn't understand. I was like, what's the reveal here? What's going on?
Lies, lies, lies,
I love how they say Ringo to the rest of the Beatles.
Poor Ringo. He's one of their first big stars, and they've slagged him a few times.
Yeah.
We want the truth!
You want the truth?
A few good men.
Mm. Yeah.
Truth handler, you.
How many references is that in political-themed movies? Like 5, 6 now we're at?
Yeah.
Yes, only I could have executed such a masterpiece of electoral fraud. And I have the records to prove it.
Here, of course. His hair, yeah.
Love how he pulls out of his hair, yeah.
Very Marge-esque.
Bob's fraud log.
Called fraud log, too.
Feed me, Springfield. Your guilty conscience may force you to vote Democratic, but deep down...
Now I want a scene where Sideshow Bob and Marge are pulling things out of their hair simultaneously to solve an issue.
That's why I did this, to protect you from yourself.
That'd be interesting.
Now, if you don't mind, I have a city to run.
Bailiffs, place the mayor under arrest.
What?
Oh, yes. All that stuff I did.
Get it. Now we get to keep our house and you get to go back to the fourth grade. Oh, tomorrow we were going to find out who the dish ran away with. Of course.
What was that article with Grandpa?
What was that? What'd that say?
Let's check it out.
Can we go back? Expressway halt. Rankles elderly.
Picture of upset grandpa. I've never noticed that one either. A lot of good sign gigs and stuff like that, background stuff.
Someday.
Now that we're doing it this way, it's so much easier to go back and forth. Yeah.
Yes.
Not that the listeners know what the hell we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Springwood Minimum Security Prison.
The Princeton alums. Princeton?
That's a callback to Frasier.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he hates people that go to Princeton because he went to Harvard.
Fair. Indeed. Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff.
It's over. Not bad. You know?
Yeah, I think we're really close here. I'm going to stick with my 8.5 because the first act is a little dry, even to this day, like understanding the context of it. It's still a bit dry. Interesting story. And they still find ways to keep it entertaining, like we talked about earlier with, you know, Mo with the grenades and the cutaways when Birch is talking about the stuff with some nice visual gigs to kind of help it out. The second and third act are really good, and I love how they outsmart Bob by trying to make him prove that he basically say that he's an idiot, and they outsmart him by making him outsmart himself. I always love that when they do that with Bob. So I'm going to stick with my 8.5. I think it's right around that area. Lots of funny stuff. Nothing like crazy stand out, but it's a very enjoyable episode. And I don't really know why when it comes to season 6, I don't think of this one as something that, you got to rewatch that. Cause you should. It's enjoyable. Very, very enjoyable. Shane, what are you going with?
You said 8.5?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my 8.5.
I think I'm going to stick with 8, yeah.
Stick with the 8.
It's just, is it like super entertaining? No. Is it really like dry? No. It's and it's not like there's enough gags, I feel like, littered throughout that it would warrant me increasing my score. I feel like it's still just a good episode. I'm just not heavy into politics, which is why it probably will never go higher than an 8 for me. Even though I do enjoy a lot of the gags in this episode, it just wasn't over the top great for me.
It's kind of interesting. It's a good point, Shane, because it's kind of interesting that the arguably the two, I have a feeling we're going to say this anyways, the two best gags were like back to back, the end of Act 1 and right at the beginning of Act 2. So yeah, the best stuff was kind of smushed right into that little area. And if you're not really into politics, I totally get that. But the episode in general is still strong enough to carry that good rating. So yeah, that makes sense. Greg, what about yourself?
I think I'll agree with Shane, and I will keep mine at an 8. I think it's a very well-rounded episode if you understand the context of what they're parodying.
Hmm.
I do really like the gags that are in this. I think there's rarely a Sideshow Bob episode that disappoints, but I also like the callbacks that they did in the episode, which I think The Simpsons, for all that they do in all of their episodes, they don't really like to call back to certain things within an episode, so seeing those callbacks is pretty funny. And I would say that one of my favorite things about this episode is the Rush Limbaugh parody at the beginning with Homer, and just how you can see parallels today with who the subject matter is geared towards. So
it's kind of interesting because later on they don't do a lot of callbacks, you're right, but in this particular chunk, maybe it's like a David Merkin thing or something when he took over from Al and Mike, that there seem to be more callbacks around like the end of season 5 into season 6 within the episode. I mean, within the particular episode, like for instance, this one with the Archie, I completely forgot that.
Yeah.
They go to Homer in the parking garage and he has the actual Archie comic, which is pretty great. Greg, kick us off though. What are you going with for best gag?
Oh, best gag has to be, Abe on in the old car up on the not finished freeway that doesn't have an entrance or an exit, so you just wonder how the hell he got up there. But I think it's just classic grandpa tomfoolery, and that's one of the things that I like about grandpa.
You surprised me. I did not think that you were going to go that route. I thought we were going to go with one of the two acts. That is great. I do like that. I love me some grandpa stuff that doesn't make any sense, but I'm not going to pick that one. I'm going with when Bob walks off the cliff. And
that's good too.
Yeah, because like it's such a great gag when you think about it, because either Bob is just so wrapped up in his thought that like he obviously sees what's in front of him. He just walks right off. And the quip too, to follow up of the guard, just hey, boat's on the other side. Like obviously he didn't know that or something. That's gonna be water cooler and Abe are a close tie for second, but that's going to be mine. Shane, what do you got?
It's kind of odd, but I'm going with Abe on the bridge.
You're going too.
Yeah. I forgot about that completely. I think it's funny cause it doesn't make any sense. and we never see that car again. Like it's all just like, what? But it ties into the satire of like how you get older people's votes.
Pandering.
It's kind of crummy.
Yeah.
That most politicians do, which just makes it kind of like extra funny. So that's my gag. But there were a few, like we're on the DVD menu right now. And like before the episode started, I had, you know, what I remembered, like the gag that stuck out to me was Bob doing all the impressions or like doing his little stand-up bit in the elementary school. That would have been a close second for me. I really like when he gets all shrunk down that we're seeing here on the DVD menu. That always got me whenever I did watch this episode as a kid. So
yeah, good viz indeed. Yeah, I think that kind of sums it up right there. There's some really good gags, maybe not some all-time classics, but good gags for a good episode with a good story. Doesn't blow you away, but it does the trick. It's kind of what you'd expect at the very least from a season 6 episode, that you're going to get something good and enjoyable. And I was going to say off the top, like, this doesn't have high replay value, but I think it actually does. It's one, if you're watching the show through, that it actually does have a lot of replay value, and you can watch this again and you will enjoy it because there's a lot of good things to keep the overall story flowing and light enough that you're going to enjoy the political stuff that comes with it. You know, it doesn't have any politics in it, though, or any sort of stuff like that. It's all just fantastic. Every single time he does it, it's when Shane does plug time. So take it away, Shane.
Yes, follow us on Twitter, Simpsons_EB. That's the best way to be mentioned on the show, interact with us, and keep updated with all the stuff that we do. Nick posts a lot of fun stuff on there, so go follow us on Twitter, Simpsons_EB. In the description of this episode, there is a Crave Donut link. If you're in the GTA, please check them out. They have an Oshawa and a Whitby location. Really, like, we're not overselling it. It's really delicious donuts. And at their Oshawa store, they have The Simpsons playing, which is really cool. The owners are huge Simpsons fans, so please check them out. Really, really, I haven't had dinner yet. I think this is going to be a common theme, but I could honestly go for a donut. But yeah. And then also in the description is a link called Buy Me a Coffee. If you click that link, you can donate money to the show, and we'll use that to better the show with like equipment and such. But also, if you could go on your phone on Spotify and go to our page, because most of you are listening to us on Spotify, if you could follow us and rate us, that'd be great. Spotify also has an integrated comment section. So you could comment something on the show, maybe like what your favorite gag was, or maybe like, I don't know, just anything like Simpsons related. And we definitely read them. So, yeah.
Yeah, it could be anything. It'd be like, make Greg into some sort of lobster creature that chain smokes. We can do that.
Like, we could do that. Yeah.
Greg's up for it. Like,
how do you know I'm not already?
See, exactly. Maybe he just needs to smoke a pack a day and get that nice, rich, full, smoky voice. And well, there's all sorts of things, but Shane's right. Anytime you interact with us, we read it.
Even the bad ones.
Even the bad ones. We try to integrate your thoughts and comments, because after all, the show is for you. So that's the whole purpose of doing it. Now,
ooh, did you like my Jurassic Park thing?
That's what I was going to say. So, Greg, you have a bit of a difficult follow up here in the way to end the episode, because our friend Craig Baird at Canadian History X, he challenged Shane to sing his own version. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to Itchy and Scratchy and the ending. Shane's version of himself singing the Jurassic Park theme song. It's pretty great. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. So Greg, what is your challenge, audio challenge of anything that you would like to hear? You can make Shane do something. It's always fun to make Shane do extra work.
Well, so, I'm gonna stay on the Simpsons topic here, and I want him to sing the I Hate Every Ape I See from Chimpan A to Chimpanzee. The full Planet of the Apes musical.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be great.
Oh my God.
Just the Hate Every Ape. Not like Doc. You don't want him to do like he, not just Dr. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited. Just that, not like Dr. Zaius and stuff like that. Just the ending part you're talking about.
Right? Yes. Well, I would also like to hear, can I play the piano anymore? Yes, you can. Well, I couldn't before.
Yeah, like Shane's got that. Shane also has that rich, smoky voice too. Two packs a day. Shane, he's down from 3 to 2. So, but he still has that rich timbre in his voice. So we'll see what Shane comes up with here. Greg, thanks again for joining us as always. It's always great to hear from a Simpsons fanatic and have their input on the show. So, geez, that's a fantastic way to play us out. Here, thanks to Greg, is Shane singing the Planet of the Apes, Troy McClure stuff. Oh, this is going to be great. We'll catch you next week.
Help, the human's about to escape.
Get your paws off me, you dirty ape.
He can talk.
He can talk. He can talk. He can talk. He can talk. He can talk. He can talk.
I can sing.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're all so lazy.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
Can I play the piano anymore?
Of course you can.
Well, I couldn't before.
This play has everything.
Oh, I love legitimate theater.
I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. No, you'll never make a monkey out of me. Oh my god, I was wrong. It was Earth all along. You finally made a monkey.
Yes, we finally made a monkey.
Yes, you finally made a monkey out of me. I love you, Dr. Zaius.